Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Assistant Principal Podcast. I'm your host, Frederick Buskey. This one's going to sound a little bit different. One, because I'm recording on my iPhone. Two, because I'm out on a trail. And as I'm huffing and puffing, I'm wondering if this was really a great idea, but we're going to give this a shot. So this is just a quick bonus edition, and I want to explore a little bit the idea of feedback or post observation conferencing. So today I did a training with 9 nonprofit leaders in Western North Carolina. This was our first day. It was a full day event. We have 2 more follow-up days, and the training itself is fairly complicated. We have a leadership model that we train people on, but we take several themes around self-care, communication, and change leadership. And then we weave elements of those themes in each of the 3 different trainings, each time going deeper. And within each training, especially today being the first day, there were a lot of themes that we would touch on. We'd do some reflection, we'd do some kind of activity, and then that would link us right into the next one, and we'd keep going. And then we would circle back later in the training to something we did earlier, and then expand on that and grow that. So it's a pretty complex training. So I'm just imagining the feedback I would have gotten facilitating that training today if my boss, if my principal or assistant principal had been in observing me. And we need to suspend for just a minute. Yes, this was an all-day training, so nobody's going to watch me train all day. And the challenges of facilitating this are very different than facilitating 30 young people in a classroom. But I really want to attend to the process of post-observation. So what would that look like? In a lot of traditional settings, after I did the training, my boss would come in and sit down, and my boss would tell me what they saw. And he'd tell me all the good things, and then they'd point out some areas that I could improve, and then I might get a chance to say something, and then I'd sign my document and we'd be done if this was a formal evaluation. I think one of the things that would come out in the conversation that an observer might latch onto was just that there were parts of the training that just seemed a little bit disjointed. There were a couple activities where I seemed to stop them a little bit abruptly and didn't transition very well. I think that's probably where most of the feedback would lie. And I can imagine my principal saying something like, well, you know, I really want you to think about how you do your transitions and maybe work on tightening them up, or feeling like they were helping me by giving me some kind of feedback. But in fact, that would have not been helpful to me at all in this instance. So the other way to do it is to do a reflective coaching session, because I am an experienced practitioner, right? You don't need to come in and tell me what my classroom should look like. You don't need to come in and tell me what I'm doing wrong. I'm a professional. And if I'm really struggling with something, I will tell you. But what I need from you is for you to create the space for me to reflect and be analytical about my own lesson. And so instead of coming in and telling me what you saw, you could instead do a reflective coaching session, and let's just base it around that 5-minute coaching strategy that I talk so much about, right? 5 steps. You're going to greet me and say something positive. You're going to ask me how things went. You're going to ask me if anything surprised me, and then if I would do anything differently. And then you'll give me another compliment and you'll walk out the door and we'll both feel good about it. Sorry, being a little bit flip, but that's okay. We're on the trail. We can relax, right? So I'm going to 5-minute coach myself through this. And I haven't thought through the questions yet, although I've been reflecting a lot on the lesson. So let's just kick off. Frederick, you've been doing really well in these now and next trainings. I know you were excited to do this one and felt really good about what was going to happen today. Tell me in the training today what went well. And I'd say, well, the first thing was right off the bat, people were engaged. We started right away with an activity that had people up and exchanging information with each other, and most of them didn't know each other. and we did a little speed dating activity. So they were just talking to each other for 1 or 2 minutes, sharing something about leadership, and then rotating and going to somebody else and having a slightly different conversation. And that activity was great because it really set the stage, set the expectations for getting to know each other and work together throughout this program. And it was really cool because people were leaning in, smiling, and talking to each other in a way that was very authentic. Everybody's really dialed in and focused. So I knew right away that this group was going to be good. And I felt really good about how I set that up as the first thing that people did. So it signaled to them that this was going to be something that was active, that they were going to have to really work and participate in. Another thing that went well is some things I heard from people later. We were debriefing an activity. I don't remember which one it was, but I think I was talking about power, because we went through the six forms of power, and how you can cultivate those different forms of power to influence people in different ways. And a part of that, I pull that activity together by talking about, or asking them about, what power I have over them in that session. So at this point, we've known each other for 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours at the most. And I'm asking them to analyze the six power bases in terms of what power I have over them. And one of the most powerful forms is referent power. And so we were talking about what referent power looked like. And one of the people, we were talking about how I had referent power. And generally, referent power, you know, takes time to cultivate, because you have to build trust, you have to create safety, you have to teach people that you're invested in them. And one of the people said, you have a reputation. This program has a reputation. So they came in already open and very expecting something that was powerful and personal. And so they were primed for it from the front end. And so I'm celebrating that, because that means not only did I do a good job with these guys today, but it means that as a program, we've been doing a good job and the word's getting out. So that was pretty cool. Lots of other things to celebrate. These guys went really deep on some stuff, but I think those are a couple of the highlights. All right. Sounds good. Thanks for sharing, Frederick. I'm wondering, were there any surprises today? Yes, there were several surprises. So one of the things is, I know that every cohort is different, but this is our fifth cohort, which is actually our sixth time doing this, because we ran a pilot. And so I felt like I pretty much knew what to expect. I've seen the range of reactions and the way people approach things. And I had things scheduled out in a way that I felt really good about. And we did not stick to our schedule. People just consistently raised questions or issues, or wanted to take things in different directions than what I had planned. And I think it was good, because they're just a different group and they're thinking in ways that other people haven't thought. So they're asking questions that other people haven't asked. And they're actually, we're talking about things that go below the surface. So we start out in one of the activities we did was about self-care and how in the nonprofit world, you really have to work on taking care of yourself so that you can be resilient over time. Because what happens with a lot of nonprofit leaders, just like educational leaders, is they focus on everybody else, take care of everybody else, put themselves last, and then their health suffers, their mental well-being suffers, and then, you know, they can't take care of anybody, because that's why we have such high burnout. So this is a big point of emphasis in our program, is that leaders need to learn to take care of themselves. And the first slide in that series, in that section that I showed them, was a quote from Danny Bauer, who I've had on this show before, talking about how the top performers don't talk about how hard they work. They talk about what they do to recover and to take care of themselves. The assumption being that everybody's working hard, right? Every principal's working hard, every assistant principal and instructional coach, you're all working really hard. So being really good at what you do isn't defined by how hard you work, because everybody's working hard. But one of the things that's going to move you into the highest performance category is that you learn how to take care of yourself. so that you can rejuvenate. And right away, they took this in a very different direction, and we got into a big discussion about systems and about how the need in a lot of these nonprofits, the need is just skyrocketing, and they can't keep pace with the need. Resources are not expanding as fast as the need. And so people are just working with limited resources all the time. They're burning through people and churning through and having to work 50, 60 hours a week just to keep up. And so we had this really deep discussion about how specific organizations, but then also how societal expectations and just the way our systems operate, how that impacts people's ability to take care of themselves. Because if you don't work 50 or 60 hours a week, the people that are going to pay the price for that, for you not getting something done, are the most vulnerable people, the most vulnerable populations that we serve. So that wasn't where that conversation was meant to go, but it was, they just really took it deep. And stuff like that happened several times. So it was really an amazing day. But it also got me really off schedule. The other thing that happened was, this day traditionally is 9 to 4, and we changed the timing so that it was a day that ran 10 to 6. Instead of doing the first day at 9 to 4 and then three follow-ups that were 12 to 4, we did this as 10 to 4 and then two other days as 10 to 4. So my timing wound up being way off, and the combination of them taking things in different directions and me being an hour short on my timing, not realizing it until we got 2 hours into the morning, had just really kind of wrecked my time frame. So I'm going to have to go back and really analyze the whole sequence of all the activities and re-engineer the whole thing. Oh, okay. Well, tell me, Frederick, is there anything that you might do differently next time? Well, the first thing I'll do differently is triple check to make sure that I have all my printed support materials, because I always have with me printouts of all the slides. Because it's so complex, I always need to check and make sure that I am building in the right segues. Because what happens sometimes is, I know we have three activities related to reflecting on, I don't know, past leadership experiences. But those all three may pop up at different points in time. They don't all necessarily sequence together. And so I want to set things up so that everything flows really smoothly. And I somehow had printed out those slides, but that paper didn't make it into my bag. So for the entire day, for a 6-hour training block, I did not have the visuals that I really rely on to help me facilitate. And so what wound up happening was that there were a number of places where I thought I was going in one direction, what was coming up next, but it was actually something else. So then I kind of had to change the task or adapt things, and it made it much harder to do really crisp, clean transitions. And it made it a lot harder to make adjustments on time and make really good decisions about where to cut and where to keep going. I don't know if you can, how this is going to play on tape, but I'm in the tough uphill portion of my hike at this point. So excuse my panting. You are literally walking the leadership journey with me right now. So that would be the first big change. I'm not sure if there's anything else that I would specifically change, because all of the other changes that I made in the session were adaptations to where their interests were and were really relevant to the topics that we were doing. So I think I feel pretty good about the rest of it. There are a couple little orders, slide orders, that I'll go back and change that I make notes on. But the big thing is I've got to make sure that I have all my materials. That was a big mistake. Now, I don't think they really noticed the transitions as much as I did, but it really bothered me, and I found the training to be a lot more draining than it has in the past, because I was constantly trying to figure out where I was going next. All right, so great, Frederick. I really appreciate the work you're putting in this project. I know you're going to kill it, and you're going to do a great job on sessions 2 and 3. All right, we'll talk again later. So that's a 5-minute coaching session. If you look at your clock, yeah, it was a lot more than 5 minutes, but that's okay, right? That was a deep reflection. So I just want you to really think about the contrast between the information that came out or would have come out in those two different ways, right? So if you're the administrator and you're telling me what you saw and you're telling me what to work on, the level of reflection that I'm asked to do on that workshop isn't very high. And you're probably going to get it wrong, because what you're going to do, or in my example, I'd say, Frederick, you need to work on your transitions. Well, my transitions were screwed up because I didn't have my materials. The sloppy transitions, that's a symptom. It's not the problem. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of not having the right materials. So then we can look at the problem, right? This is really an issue. Is it a matter of me not being conscientious enough to get those supports that I need? And so what do I need to do for that, right? Do I need to have a process sheet before I get in my car that I check everything off? Or maybe I need to work at being less dependent on the visuals that accompany my PowerPoint. So when I was coached, right, I could expose that about why the transitions were sloppy. If you're just taking the lead on it and you're telling me I need to work on transitions, and you may give me some advice, but it may be irrelevant. Because if the answer is just remember to print out your slide sheet ahead of time, now it's kind of in a waste. And in fact, you've lost some credibility with me, because we did this big thing, you told me what you thought, and what you thought was wrong. In contrast with the reflective coaching, which, by the way, to do that reflective coaching that I just walked myself through, you as the observer didn't have to be an observer. You wouldn't have to know anything that happened, right? You could just see me afterwards and ask about it, and I'm still going to get the same benefit. So you don't have to sit in a 6-hour training, although it's a great training. I think you should. So the power of reflective coaching to help professionals to critically assess their own practice is just so powerful. And we need to be doing more of it. We need to be doing it more consistently. And again, you don't need to be present in order to ask reflective questions of a teacher as to how their lesson went. And in that process, not only am I getting more value, but I'm never feeling judged in that, right? You're creating space for me, which I appreciate. There's nothing in there that's going to cause me to react negatively to you. I know, it's one other thing. When we're in a formal observation or a structured system where I know you're going to say the good stuff, then you're going to tell me what I did wrong, and then you're going to say something else good. Like, we all know that formula. So in that front end, when you're telling me what I did well, I'm not listening. I'm wondering, what are you going to hit me with? What are you going to tell me I need to work on? So I don't even hear the good part. But when you 5-minute coach me and you force me to reflect on the good part, I'm an active participant. And to be honest, my whole drive home, I was really frustrated about not having that handout and just about what I consider to be sloppy transitions. So that's bothering me the whole way home. By the time I started walking on the trail, I was kind of thinking, wow, this training was terrible, because all I did was focus on the bad things. But in 5-minute coaching myself, I was brought back to all those cool moments, all the really good stuff that happened. So again, just asking, doing reflective coaching, 5-minute coaching, or some other form of helping teachers recognize what they're doing well, interrogate their lessons and what they're doing by asking those questions about surprises, and then just providing the opening for them to think about if there's anything they would do differently. And no is a financer. Doing that provides incredible value. It's super easy, and it's less resource intensive than a lot of the traditional things we're doing. All right. I hope that that was helpful to you as just another way to illustrate how we can do really effective reflective coaching with very little knowledge of what's going on in the situation, but how it benefits the participant, the teacher. Literally, thank you for walking your journey with me. I think I'm about a mile or a mile and a half in and almost done with the heaviest uphill part. So thank you for walking with me. I appreciate it. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at frederick@frederickbeske.com. If you want to learn more about all the stuff I'm doing at Strategic Leadership Consulting, you can go on my website at frederickbeske.com. And I think there's something else I'm supposed to say at the end. See, I don't have my script. Rate and review the podcast. That always helps other people find it. All right. Take care. I appreciate you listening to this bonus episode. Hope it was helpful. Have a great day. And remember to rest, recover, take care of yourself so that you can continue to live and lead better. Cheers.